We had a lively interest in whatever the administration was doing with respect to church and state.
This is something that we fought hard for.
Religious liberty is one of the hallmarks and part of the bedrock of American democracy.
We at the BJC like to say when anyone's religious liberty is threatened, everyone's religious liberty is at risk.
Hello, and welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. I'm Charles Watson, Jr., the Associate Director of Education at the Baptist Joint Committee. Each year, the Baptist Joint Committee takes 10 young professionals to Colonial Williamsburg for a seminar as a part of our BJC Fellows program. On this podcast, you'll hear from several of our BJC Fellows who spoke at the 2018 Religious Liberty Council luncheon in Dallas. Three fellows from the class of 2017 joined Pastor George Mason of Wilshire Baptist Church in Dallas for a conversation about the impact of the program. You'll also hear from several other fellows from all four classes, including members of the 2018 class who are headed to Colonial Williamsburg at the end of July. Now, here's George Mason leading the conversation at our luncheon.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm George Mason, and I'm pleased to moderate this conversation and continue it, and then we'll pass off from us to some others who will have testimonials about this fellows program. I wish you could sit where we are right now and look out on this sea of people, 600 strong. This apparently is where all the cool kids gather, because you really are tremendous supporters, and we're all very grateful for what you do. The BJC Fellows Program is one program among many that we're starting to see pop up in our organizations and institutions that really care about training the next generation of advocates and people who are working in the various fields that we have, including at local churches with internship programs and residency programs and all of that. And so it's a wonderful thing to be part of in the ecology of this moderate progressive Baptist movement that we all share and love. Today, we are joined by three people who have been part of the 2017 class, which is the third class of BJC Fellows. This is Aurelia Pratt, and she is the lead pastor of Peace of Christ Baptist Church, well, just Peace of Christ Church, but it is Baptist, in Round Rock, Texas. And actually, she's just ascended to that role, so has just received the mantle from Kyle Tubbs, who's moved to his role now at CBF. And Sophie Hersher is with us. She is Assistant Communications Director at the Religious Action Committee of the Reformed Jewish Tradition in Washington, D.C., and she is our first non-Christian fellow of BJC. And then Corey Mitchell, who is a speech pathologist by training, but also a minister of children and youth at the, Rock Spring Missionary Baptist Church in Creedmoor, North Carolina. We're so glad that you guys could, well, we've already heard from you a bit. But Aurelia, beyond the introduction on the video, tell us more about what happened in those 5 days at Colonial Williamsburg. Why did you want to be part of it, and how has it really shaped your understanding of things?
Okay, yeah, so the 5-day seminar in Colonial Williamsburg, so big party spot. Just up until 6 p.m., then things kind of start to wind down. But it was a 5-day extensive seminar where the fellows were able to learn about the history of religious liberty, the theological framework behind it, as well as the legal perspective. And so we spent time in seminars. There were amazing authors and professors and other speakers. The BJC staff were there. And we had a small cohort, so we got to bond with other young professionals all across the country. And aside from being in the seminars, we got to also plan together projects that we would take home with us, specific ways that we would advocate for religious liberty in our communities and in our contexts. And so that is what the official 5 days and beyond kind of looked like. What we took home looked different for each of us. But for me personally, and I'm probably the only person in the room who felt this way, but I was just a little bit disheartened after the 2016 presidential race and election. And I didn't know what to do with that. I felt frustrated.
You're the only one.
Right. Yeah. Everyone else felt really good about it. I single-handedly was disheartened. No, but I noticed all of the division and the polarization, and it was just ugly. And I came out of that, like a lot of people did, feeling disheartened. And I knew that I wanted to do something. I wanted to take my frustration and turn that into productive civic action. And so I kind of stewed on that and then heard about the BJC, which I had heard about the Fellows program before, because Kyle did it in 2015. But it just seemed like the right time for me to try to be a part of that. And so as a clergy person who, you know, has certain passions and certain gifts, that I felt that the BJC Fellows program really worked for me as a space to further my passions and gifts in ministry, but also just my calling. And I think of Frederick Buechner, who I think he said something like, where your deep gladness and the world's deep need meets, that's your calling. Right. And I found a piece of that in the BJC Fellows program.
Wonderful. Well, you are a pastor. Sophie works in a nonprofit religious organization. And Corey, you are an associate, mm-hmm. and you work with children and youth. But I think we're all curious, what kinds of deep religious liberty issues do children and youth face that actually, I said it almost facetiously, but really in schools especially and in communities, there is quite a bit of back and forth about the role of religious liberty. How do you help prepare children and youth in your community for those challenges?
Exactly. Children are the most vulnerable in our society. My role as a BJC fellow is to foster tolerance, to foster and to train children to be more tolerant and to be more accepting of their peers and their classmates who are different from them, who may have a different faith background than they have.
Sophie, as the first non-Christian in the group, you actually fall in line with a long history of the Baptist Joint Committee working with the Reformed Jewish community, especially on religious liberty issues. The head of your organization previously was David Saperstein, and last year he was the featured speaker at this Baptist Joint Committee luncheon. So I think, especially when we think about minority faiths, there's always been a connection between Baptists and Jews in America on these matters. But, you know, Baptists, when they got to be prominent in the South, we sort of forgot about that. So here we are rekindling this kind of partnership. So what do you think you could say to Baptists today about remembering our religious minority roots and how you can bring some vitality to that conversation?
Sure. I should say first, I want to thank and commend the BJC for allowing me into this program to begin with. I don't think I was the typical applicant. I sort of shut up one day and said, "Let me in," and they did. And it's been a really beautiful partnership. So I want to say that. And I guess I would start by saying that everyone in this room, at some point in history, at some place on Earth, is a part of a religion that has been a majority and has been a minority. It is a shared experience that you are sometimes in power and you are sometimes under the leadership or power of another who feels differently from you. And I think that we can lose track of that when we are the ones in the majority or when we are the ones in power. And one of the things that I learned from the fellowship program, I learned quite a bit. I'm going to tell you, I did not know how complicated it is to be Baptist.
be, be,
Because it's so easy to be a Jew.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You have me there. Yeah. But I guess I will say I come back to this quote that I heard as a child. Actually, it's from an activist, an Indigenous Australian activist, who says, "If you are here to help me, then you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. But if you are here because your liberation is bound with mine, then let us be partners."
Nice. Thank you. So, Sophie, staying with you for a moment, are there particular issues that you see that you are working on with the RAC that the BJC is also working on, so Baptists and Jews could really be paying particular attention right now to this matter or that?
Yeah, it's not a boring time to work in religious advocacy. I will say, as Amanda mentioned before, certainly the advocacy around the Johnson Amendment, the piece of the IRS tax code that prohibits partisan politicking in houses of worship, is particularly important at this time. I will also say we at the Religious Action Center are focusing a lot on some of the things that are happening in the Department of Health and Human Services. We are looking at the way that the country is reacting to the words religious liberty and religious freedom. Mm. To a certain extent, there's a brand that's behind those words. There's the way that people feel about what those words mean is very, very important. And what we're finding is that we are losing the battle to keep the American public educated on what religious freedom really means, what religious liberty was intended to bestow. And I think what we are doing in our own communities, and we're working really hard right now to focus on nonpartisan civic engagement, so 100% voting in congregations and things like that, not telling people who to vote for, but just getting them to vote and understand that that can be a sacred act. But making sure that we train our communities and our children especially to understand that while religious freedom and religious liberty can feel like a divine inheritance in this country, it is a man-made institution. It's made up of a set of laws. It's made up of the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment and the Article 6 of the Constitution. And that those were ours. Humans created those, and they are ours to protect.
Good. Wonderful. Sophie used the word protect, and Aurelia, I think a lot of times we think of the work of religious liberty advocacy as defending the wall of separation between church and state and of guarding missteps that people might take in our public life with one another. We don't often think about the positive outreach, what Amanda talked about as extending religious liberty, and you have actually begun to put this into practice at Peace of Christ in Round Rock with some multi-faith and interfaith dialogue times. In fact, you had Sophie come down to help you with that too. Tell us about how you see that promoting religious liberty instead of just defending it.
Right. Yeah, actually, just wrote an article about this month for the Austin Statesman, but it was about the relationship between interfaith work and religious liberty. And essentially, you know, being in the Bible Belt, we're all here right now, so people don't always have the most positive perception of interfaith dialogues. And it can sometimes be hard to get people to come to them. They're afraid, they don't really know what it's about. And so what I like to tell people is that interfaith work at the core is just about getting to know your neighbor. And so interfaith work is about, it's not interested in building walls, it's interested in building bridges. And those bridges are bridges of hope. Beautiful. And empathy, and especially love. So as Christians, we're called to love our neighbor, but you can't really love someone when you don't know them, right? So interfaith work is about getting to know your neighbor at its core, and when you get to know your neighbor, you love your neighbor, their cares become your cares, and vice versa, and the things that are precious to them are precious to you, and religious liberty, things like religious liberty, become a shared value, and our goal then becomes to preserve and protect that for all, whether you worship a different God or no God at all. And so I think interfaith work really helps build bridges so that we can work on these kinds of things, preserve these kinds of things together.
Wonderful. Corey, I was talking just before our lunch with Philip Kingston, who is a former intern at the BJC and currently a city councilman and co-conspirator for all things good in Dallas. Philip, thank you for being here. Philip was talking about how much of a struggle it is at the state and federal levels now to get anything done in government and whatnot. But so much can happen at the local level. And you all are now trained to be in your local places. Instead of just always referring things to the professionals in Washington, D.C., even at the BJC or the RAC, now you're trained to go and be a representative in your community, addressing things like racism and immigration bans on Muslims and things of this nature and LGBT discrimination and whatnot. So when you think about the work that you are doing and what people in the pew, lay people, can do, what would you say to them can be their role, not delegated to professionals, but just because we are all engaged in this work? What have you learned?
There is an old proverb that comes to mind when I think of your question, and it says, each one teach one.
Nice.
And there are a lot of people in this room, so if each person in this room would commit to teach one other person outside of this room about true religious liberty, I think that we can make great grounds on the grassroots level across this country. That's one way. The second way is, as Christians, we must stay true to the gospel. And we must stay true to the mandate to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. On the flip side of true religious liberty is fear. Mm-hmm. And I was once that person who was fearful,
okay,
because I didn't know.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And so when I think of fear, I have to think about what the scripture says in 1 John 4:18, that says, there's no fear in love, mm-hmm, but perfect love drives out fear.
Nice.
And so if we would just love our neighbor and love someone who is different from us, we can truly make this country great again.
Wonderful. Ah, so here it is.
And then I do want to say this one last thing. I can remember my grandmother saying so vividly, just like it was yesterday, a little love goes a long way. We can accomplish so much.
Very good.
By loving each other.
Well, in a moment, we're going to hear some more testimonials, but I'd like to ask you one sort of quick question to end our time together, and that is, would you just finish this sentence? I'm going to give you two choices. Mm-hmm. Either religious liberty is, or the future of religious liberty is. Who wants to go first?
I'll take it. I think. The future of religious liberty is the responsibility of every person in this room.
There you go. Terrific.
That's why I went first.
I guess I will say the future of religious liberty is strongest in partnership.
Good.
Oh, what can I say that'll get me a round of applause too? They both got a round of applause.
I will clap for you.
No. Let's see, can it be a run-on sentence?
Sure. The grammar police have...
I kind of was thinking in terms of the same thing that both of you said, but religious liberty, I'll say, to echo what Sophie said earlier, religious liberty is not automatic. We have to work together to preserve it, and it's our shared responsibility to do that, whether we are doing advocacy work in the community or applying for the Fellows Program or giving financially to organizations like this as we can.
Wonderful. Well, aren't we happy? We're so proud of what you do, where you are, and the way you serve, and the way you represent the Baptist Joint Committee, too. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. We have some additional testimonials now as well, because this is the third class, and so there have been three classes so far, and a fourth that has now been enlisted. So you're going to hear quickly from several at these microphones, and so let's give attention to them as well.
My name is Lauren McDuffie. I'm from Moorhead, Kentucky, and I'm a 2015 BJC Fellow. Being a BJC Fellow means having the tools to model best practices as a religious voice in the public square. I'm an associate pastor in a town where the refusal by a government official to issue marriage licenses on religious grounds drew national attention, leading to community-wide conversations about what exactly religious liberty even means. I'm grateful for the education I received as a BJC Fellow that has prepared me to help guide conversations in the midst of difference and to advocate for those whose voices are sometimes unintentionally silenced in the interest of easy answers.
My name is Libby Grammer. I am a 2017 BJC Fellow and a pastoral resident at River Road Church Baptist in Richmond, Virginia. For me, as a pastor and author, being a BJC Fellow means serving as an ambassador. I serve as an ambassador for religious freedom from the pulpit to the writing chair. Having learned from those on the front lines of religious liberty advocacy, I can help prepare my congregation and my fellow Baptists and other people of faith to both better understand the issues as well as advocate for religious freedom for all. That's through my teaching, through my preaching, and through my writing. To God be the glory.
My name is Megan Pike, and I am a 2016 BJC Fellow from Little Rock, Arkansas, and also a monthly donor to the BJC. For me, being a BJC Fellow is being an advocate for religious liberty for all, including the nonprofit sector. As a local board member of my chapter of the Nonprofit Professionals Network, as a minister and a member of the local congregation, I really see the value of preserving the Johnson Amendment. This is something that is dear to me because I see messing with the Johnson Amendment would be infiltrating our nonprofit organizations with partisan politics, which makes our organizational missions vulnerable to external pressure and could be divisive in our congregations. Mm-hmm.
My name is Kyle Tubbs, and I am in the process of moving to Decatur, Georgia, to join the staff of CBF, and I was a 2015 BJC Fellow. As someone who has a deep passion for interfaith dialogue, being a BJC Fellow means I am sensitive to my own religious privilege, and I strive to be a religious liberty advocate for my interreligious neighbors, remembering that Baptists at one time were religious minorities too.
Hi, my name is Catherine Freeman. I'm from Austin, Texas, and I was a 2017 BJC Fellow. I'm an attorney by training, and so for me, being a BJC Fellow meant a really helpful refresher course on religious freedom so that I could better do my job in my current position, but it was presented in a much more fun and innovative way than the first time I learned it in law school.
Hello, my name is Claire Hine Blanton, and I'm from Houston, Texas, and I will be one of the upcoming 2018 BJC Fellows. I am so excited about this opportunity because I am also a PhD student in systematic and ethical theology and focusing in political theology. So most of what I spend my time doing is looking at really big books with really big words and really big ideas. And none of that is very helpful to the church or community unless I can translate that and relay that to everyday life. But my hope is that this summer I will get that new vocabulary to really make my scholarship useful to those around me and further the mission of religious liberty.
I am Brent Newberry, and I am from Worcester, Massachusetts. And the reason I am looking forward to being a BJC fellow is because I am serving a congregation that is the product of efforts by religious liberty advocates centuries ago. In Massachusetts, during a time when people were still, specifically Baptists, were being exiled and arrested. And so now Worcester is the second largest city in New England, and our population, our residents, about 20% of them are foreign-born, many of whom are not Baptists. And so I am looking forward to how the BJC can help empower me to advocate for religious liberty on behalf of our Sikh and Muslim and Hindu and Jewish neighbors so that they too can be a part of a faith community that is thriving 200 years later.
I'm Annette Thornburg Owen, and I am also excited and honored to be part of the program this summer. As a pastor of a small congregation outside of Chicago, I'm looking forward to taking what I learned back to my congregation to empower them to see themselves as agents of change, as well as to deepen our understanding, enrich our conversation, and to expand our imagination of what it means to be people of faith. So thank you for your support of this program and for the important work of the Baptist Joint Committee. Blessings on you. Thank you.
You just heard from several BJC fellows on their experiences. To watch the entire Religious Liberty Council luncheon, visit our website at bjconline.org/luncheon. For more on the BJC Fellows program, visit bjconline.org/fellows. For more episodes of the BJC podcast, head to iTunes. And as always, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter @BJC on the Hill and Instagram @Baptist Joint Committee.